Chapter 7. The Prison Walls. I could now no longer run away from myself. I had grown too big for that. I saw and felt the limitations, the boredom, the terrible narrowness of my own existence. All around me were signs of activity, effort, growth. Everyone had something to do, something to occupy them, and give their energies a natural escape and a natural medium of expression. I had only my left foot. Catriona de la Hunt was a great help. I wondered sometimes if she was real, if she wasn't some lovely illusion or apparition that would suddenly vanish. But I knew she was real when I heard her voice in my ears, when I saw the light in her brown hair, and saw her eyes smiling when she looked at me as I sat painting one of my pictures to give to her. No, she wasn't one of my dreams, but a beautiful reality. When I was 16, a horrible new feeling sprang up within me. I began to be not merely miserable and gloomy, but also resentful. I resented the world as a whole because of my disability. What did I have to look forward to? People always thought it was a marvellous thing that I could paint with my toes and told me I was lucky. Yes, quite a remarkable boy. I didn't want to be remarkable. I only wanted to be ordinary, like everyone else. Just because I did with my left foot what others did with their hands, people said it was a wonderful thing. But it did not make me feel proud or unique. In fact, I never used my left foot in the presence of anybody I didn't know very well, because it made me feel rather silly and strange. I always felt like a performing monkey or seal. Then suddenly one day I had an idea. I had always been fond of writing letters, mostly, of course, to Catriona de la Hunt. But now I decided to try something more ambitious. Stories. The idea grew and grew till it invaded my whole mind. I hadn't read much before this. Books were a rare phenomenon in our house. Bread was more important. Still, I had lots of ideas crowding my mind, which I couldn't express through my paints and brushes. The sudden inspiration to try and write them down came to me as I lay on my bed one wintry day. Immediately I got some paper and began to write whatever came into my head. It was a crazy mess of words, sentences and paragraphs that hadn't the least relation to one another. Later, I began to connect them and then tried to weave them into a pattern, just like I did with my paints. Finally, I started to put thoughts behind what I wrote, so that in a little while, they were my own ideas. I was almost 17, and I had just realised that this could give me the key to a new sort of life with which I could explore new realms of thought and build for myself a world in which I might live alone, independent of others. I don't think I was happy even now, but at least I was occupied. I had found a way to relieve the monotony of every day. I felt life had become a little less dull. At 17, everything seemed to happen to me. My emotional life had already begun to emerge. I wanted friends, people of my own age to go about with. Although I was a cripple, I still had the need for the things that made up the everyday lives of other people. Football, dances, beer, parties, and girls. It seemed that instead of coming to a better understanding of my own handicap as I got older, I only became troubled and bitter. Then the final calamity happened. One day, when Catriona de la Hunt came to visit me, I saw something sparkle brightly on her finger. I looked again and saw it was a diamond engagement ring. I just stared and stared. A few minutes later, she held out her hand with a blush and showed Mother the ring, asking her if she liked it. After Mother had congratulated her, she turned and showed it to me. I grunted and turned my head away. "Don't make a sour face," she said to me with one of her special smiles, putting a hand on my shoulder. "I'll still come to see you after I'm married." She was married some months later. I was brought down by mother in my wheelchair. There was a large crowd of her friends present, but as she and her husband came out of the church, she saw me, and a bright smile lit up her darling face. I had no resistance against that. She was now Mrs. Maguire, a very nice name, but it was a long time before I could get used to it. On the night of my 17th birthday, I got up from the sofa to make my way out into the back garden for a little air. I crawled over and sat down under a tree. It was June, and the air was filled with the scent of flowers. I could hear the birds in the branches above me and the car horns in the distance. The moonlight made a pattern on the ground in front of me, through the branches of the old tree I was sitting under. It was a beautiful night, calm, gentle, yet alive. The moonlight made everything seem silver. I almost imagined I heard the noise of the stars as they shone in the dark sky. For a moment I was happy. Then I remembered. The future was like a black pit before me. I felt trapped and chained. What was I? I asked myself as I sat there. Just one of God's practical jokes. My life seemed without purpose or worth. I was imprisoned within the walls that I now felt closing in around me as I grew up. I wanted to be free. I wanted passionately to get free and escape.